Health and Human Services Committee meeting for Wednesday, April 13th. Today, we have asked for some input from members of the public, various folks that have some knowledge, we hope, about the exchange issue. We've also had some conversation with representatives of the department to come and give us a perspective, but we do not have a bill before the committee today. This is for informational purposes. We are recognizing that the idea of an exchange is something that has been out there, has been talked about. There have been at least one bill introduced in the other body. And because we recognize it as an issue and wanting to help members of this committee and members of the Senate at large understand some of the issues that surround the exchange issue, we wanted to invite a number of testifiers that may have different perspectives on what the exchange is and what it should do. And so what I'm really asking for from the presenters as they come up and give us their input, to first of all, give us your perspective on when you talk about an exchange, what is it that you're talking about? Define it for us in your terms. And then secondly, what you envision happening and why it needs to be or not does not need to be done, depending on your perspective. But this is really what we're hoping to find out today is to flesh out the ideas and the issues surrounding the exchange so that as we proceed in the course of the session, we can address this issue with some deposit of information that we hope will be helpful. We do have a list of testifiers. I do not have on the list formally members of the department, and I don't want to put them on the spot, but I don't want to neglect them either. And I wanted to ask if members of the department wanted to make some opening comments about the exchange or would just want to hold off, or how would you want to do that if you can give me an indication? Would you want to come up now and just make some comments for initially before we take testimony?
Mr. Chair, Member Scott Lights from the Department of Human Services. I think we're very happy to answer questions that members have along the way. We don't really have any opening statements to make, but happy to do that as things continue today.
All right. Well, thank you.
I agree.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We did have some comment about the exchange with the department in a few weeks ago that was, from my perspective, not very productive, but we do, at least from our side, recognize that if an exchange is going to be enacted, it has to be done by the legislature. There are different ideas about it. We recognize the department has some perspective, and as things come up in the course of the discussion today, if there are things that you could be responsive to, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. But we'll go down the list of testifiers and begin to hear the perspectives, and first I'd like to invite Twyla Brace. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Twyla Brace. I'm president of Citizens.
Could I ask you to bring the microphone up close because we need to make sure you get on tape and that you can be heard.
How is this, Mr. Chair?
Yep, bring it closer, I'm afraid.
How is that?
As close as you can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Twyla Brace. I'm president of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. The health insurance exchange has been described as many things. The Obama administration calls it a new competitive private health insurance market. Others have called it a one-stop shop for health insurance or an organized competitive marketplace. The federal health care reform law, however, says the following: an exchange shall be a governmental agency or nonprofit entity established by a state. End quote. This government-established exchange can be state, regional, or federal. Historically, governments do not create, establish, or improve markets. Often, they regulate them out of existence. It is only by creative ingenuity and persistence that many businesses emerge and thrive. Markets happen because there are buyers and sellers. The exchange is a government-regulated and government-established entity that will limit sellers and interfere in the free exchange of goods and services. For instance, only federally qualified health plans, managed care plans, are allowed to offer coverage through the exchange. Traditional non-HMO, non-health plan catastrophic insurance is not allowed because it is outlawed by Obamacare. The exchange has been called the glue, the centerpiece, the linchpin, and the most underreported, most important aspect of Obamacare. For those opposed to the implementation of Obamacare, the exchange should engender considerable concern. Here are four specific concerns. Number one, governmental control. The Secretary of Health and Human Services writes all the rules on the exchange, which are yet to come out, and the state has to live under them. There are no exemptions. State exchanges have some flexibility, but it is rather cosmetic, such as governance, limiting number of health plans, choosing single payer. Exchanges must report to HHS annually. HHS can conduct annual audits of exchanges. The Secretary can also implement any measure or procedure that the Secretary determines is appropriate to reduce fraud and abuse in the administration of the law. HHS also requires uniform enrollment procedures across the country. Uniform, of course, means national, and national standards and procedures enable a national healthcare system to be established. In addition, HHS can conduct surveys and investigate the affairs of the exchange. I take that to include the individuals enrolled through the exchange. This brings us to concern number two, data and privacy. Health economist Stephen Parente testified earlier this year in the House. He said that large employers will have to essentially send an electronic feed to the IRS so the government can really see what someone's wages are to figure out whether they qualify for a subsidy and whether this is credible coverage. He said in the individual market, the reason why the bill actually added an extra 700 pages is that it had to basically rewrite IRS code and Department of Treasury code to get access to a data feed from Treasury in real time to score people for their eligibility based on their income, based on their prior returns, and based on their estimated payments. He then said that's why this law is one of the more sweeping pieces of legislation ever. Using data and sharing data, exchanges will be required to certify an individual's exemption from the mandate that citizens purchase health insurance or be penalized. The law also specifically states that exchanges may collect and use Social Security numbers. Concern number three, adverse selection. A report out of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners says exchanges may become risk magnets. Let me mention a few reasons why this is the case. The exchange is specifically for individuals and small groups until 2017, when large groups can join. Employers can opt to send their workers to the exchange and may find it beneficial to do so, especially if they have a workforce with higher medical needs. In addition, MSHA, Minnesota's high-risk pool, will be dismantled, sending all those individuals to the exchange. Finally, everyone going to the exchange is checked for Medicaid eligibility and enrolled in Medicaid if they qualify. To manage this risk of higher cost, the federal government offers 3 years of reinsurance subsidies to the state. After that, the state is on its own. Federal funding for the establishment and implementation of the exchange also goes away, December 31, 2014. States must figure out how to operate and fund the exchange without federal dollars. So consider a few examples. Texas and North Carolina abandoned their exchanges after 5 years. California had an exchange which they abandoned in 2006 when a health insurer pulled out due to losses. Deloitte testified that several states are contemplating forcing all insurers into the exchange to deal with the adverse selection problem. I believe this could be where the administration intends to go, that the exchange is simply another step towards single payer. I also think this may be where health plans want to go. One system, competitors squeezed out, everyone forced to purchase their product, and they become a highly paid government contractor. So let's discuss costs, concern number four. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners has another report on funding the exchange. They say that the operations of the exchange could range from a few million to in excess of $50 million. They contemplate assessments, user fees, and other potential sources of revenue, including online advertising targeted at consumers for all sorts of products. They note that the financial mechanisms must cover the administrative cost of the exchange, which they say is expected to service a large number of users who will not be purchasing insurance. They also note that any user fee would need to be in combination with other financial mechanisms in order to generate enough revenue. They say specifically, any number of fees could be assessed upon carriers, individual consumers, employers, agents, and/or navigators. They also suggest the possibility of a new excise tax to cover the cost of the exchange. And they note, interestingly enough, that premium tax revenues in the state may decline because of the, quote, cost-sharing reductions and the refundable tax credits that are available for individuals whose incomes are between 133% and 400% of federal poverty level. However, they claim, and I quote, diminished premium tax collection may be offset through sale or other taxes assessed because of increased disposable income to those who qualify for the tax credits being able to divert money from health insurance expenditures to other priorities. They further claim states have opportunities to capture more sales taxes and other revenues since more individuals will have more discretionary income. So on one hand, they say a new excise tax and any number of fees could be assessed, which will raise costs for everyone. And on the other hand, they claim a vast array of individuals will have more discretionary income. I think that they do not come together to make sense. As you contemplate the exchange, let me add a few final cautionary notes from other notable sources. Judge Vinson, who ruled the individual mandate unconstitutional and voided the entire law as a result, chided states for moving forward with Obamacare. He said it is undercutting his rule. He wrote as well, "It could also be argued that the executive branch seeks to continue the implementation in part for the very reason that the implemented provisions will be hard to undo once they are fully in place," end quote. John Goodman at the National Center for Policy Analysis says the Obamacare exchanges are a one-way lose-lose bet. John Graham at the Pacific Research Institute says legislatures should avoid them. Governor Mitch Daniels protests that the law expects to conscript the states as its agents in takeover of health care. It assumes that we will set up and operate its new insurance exchanges, end quote. Some will argue that Minnesota must act first, establish an exchange to protect itself from the federal exchange. I would argue that there is nothing about a state exchange that is not a federal exchange. A state exchange is a de facto federal exchange. State flexibility is minimal but meant to coerce compliance. States do not have the most to lose in this discussion. The Obama administration has the most to lose. If the administration, through Governor Dayton or otherwise, forcibly sets up an exchange, the public can focus all its angst and anger on the real perpetrators of this injustice, the Obama administration. If the current legislature becomes complicit, the Obama administration can simply point to the legislature and say it was a bipartisan agreement, as they are now doing with RomneyCare. Finally, we do not accept the sunset clause as protection against Obamacare. The exchange is Obamacare. Legislators should never put into law anything that they are not willing to live with forever. After industry has transitioned and the Department of Commerce has spent millions and Governor Dayton wants it forever, I expect executive orders, lawsuits, and injunctions to keep it in place until the 2013 legislature comes into session. We oppose the exchange, and I hope that my comments have made it clear the dangers to health freedom, individual choice, state sovereignty, and the state budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, can we set some ground rules? Could we be a little respectful in this place? It is not Obamacare, and he's not Obama. He's President Obama, and it's the Affordable Care Act. The least we can do as policymakers for our state is be respectful, and let's ask the people who come to testify to be respectful, too.
And Senator Higgins, and I certainly believe that we ought to be respectful. I have heard testifiers make comments across the board from all ranges of perspective that some may find to be offensive. I've certainly heard comments that I've found to be offensive. So I respect your point, but I'm not sure that we can, in every case, control what testifiers will say, but I appreciate your raising the issue. We need to have this discussion and be respectful. That being said, Ms. Brace.
Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, each of us have our own way of speaking things, and in newspapers all across the country, the word Obamacare is given. And so it is a common standard usage. And that is the freedom of speech that we have to be able to call it as it is.
Mr. Chair and Senator and
Senator,
Ms. Braves.
Senator Higgins.
Just because people use it in common language doesn't mean it isn't disrespectful.
Well, Mr.
And I
Chair,
believe the people who do use it are being disrespectful.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, I just want to say that I disagree.
All right. I appreciate that, and we will continue to have a respectful discussion and recognize that we have disagreements about the virtues of various policies, and we will try to conduct those differences in a productive way. Next, we will hear from Beth McMullen and Lisa Bodine. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Beth McMullen, and I represent the Minnesota Business Partnership. We're an association of CEOs of Minnesota's largest employers. Our members employ 400,000 Minnesotans and over 4 million worldwide. First, I'd like to just start with the fact that I'm not here today to debate the ACA or its constitutionality. As businesses, our members have a responsibility to their employees and their shareholders to plan for current law. So the partnership members are generally self-insured in terms of employee health benefits, which is the reason I'm before you today. As you consider a health exchange in Minnesota, I'd like to share with you some thoughts specific to self-insured employers, particularly those who have employees in multiple states. The partnership supports the creation of a Minnesota exchange in accordance with the ACA. Failure to do so will result in the federal government creating one for us, most likely a one-size-fits-all model that will not take into consideration the unique aspects of the Minnesota marketplace. It may take us backwards in terms of the healthcare reform advances that we've made in recent years and will not take advantage of the collaborative nature of the healthcare stakeholders in this state. We encourage the legislature to pursue a health exchange model that would be a public-private partnership. We would support legislation that would allow for a sunset in the event that the ACA is repealed or ruled unconstitutional. However, we might consider an exchange even without the ACA if it is created in a manner that increases the purchasing power of individuals and groups in our marketplace. Now, to speak specifically to the self-insured multi-state employers in relation to health exchanges, though large employers will not buy through the exchange as they are first implemented, it is possible down the road. And in the near term, it is certain that employers of all sizes will have interactions with exchanges. Employers may have to provide information to an exchange on a number of populations, including part-time employees, contract and consultant employees, retirees, dependents and spouses of employees, laid-off employees, and perhaps new employees who had previously been covered through an exchange. There may also be a communication with an exchange on employer coverage for a particular employee that the law considers not comprehensive enough or not affordable enough, and therefore the employee may be eligible for federal tax credits. Just to give you an example of some of the questions that employers are looking at as they consider how exchanges will function and how they will have to interact with the exchanges, there's a number of questions. How will collection and processing of employer contributions be communicated to exchange? How will the collection and processing of employee contributions for an exchange coverage, including those through an employer's cafeteria plan, also known as a flexible spending account? How will collection and verification of total cost of employers' coverage by coverage type? There's individuals, there's families, there's individuals plus one dependent, etc. How will an exchange interact with employers on notification when the exchange determines that an employer's coverage is not affordable or comprehensive enough? How will coordination of benefits between an exchange and employer coverage occur? Coordination and information sharing between exchanges, workers' compensation, disability benefits, the Family Medical Leave Act, when employees have coverage through those other means as well. And I've got more, but that was just to kind of give you a taste of some of the things that employers are thinking about as there are exchanges created. So these are going to be very complicated transactions that will require significant lead time to determine the best manner for an employer to comply with, as well as time to communicate these new policies with their employees. Employers will need clear guidance from exchanges in how these transactions will occur. Employers who have employees in multiple states are quite concerned with having some continuity across the multiple states or regional exchanges in how these interactions I just described will be conducted. While we recognize that unique aspects of each region, in this case Minnesota, have when considering the creation of an exchange, we fear a spaghetti plate of rules and regulations differing from exchange to exchange on how an employer with employees in multiple exchanges, how that employer will communicate. Also, employers currently play a really important role in helping employees navigate the complex system that is our healthcare market. The partnership continually strives to simplify the system through healthcare reform efforts. However, we would like to continue to play that navigator role for employees in the new world of exchanges as well. Because of the unique perspective of multi-state employers, I would encourage the inclusion of at least one representative from such an employer on any governing board within a Minnesota exchange. And please recall that while exchanges will require new responsibilities, financial and administrative, on employers, that there is another law, the federal ERISA preemption, that allows multi-state employers to operate a uniform employee benefit across state lines without being submitted to state-by-state regulation. So there are many exchange models being discussed nationally, and some of our members are watching the multiple discussions across the country. Our members are also working with federal regulators to ensure some key national standards and common processes for the exchanges. I will continue working with our members and engage on this debate here in Minnesota and share with you lessons that our members are learning in other states. The Minnesota Business Partnership has a goal to ensure a functioning, responsive healthcare marketplace that will achieve optimal health outcomes, reduce the cost of healthcare, reduce the rate of future cost increases, and increase access to affordable healthcare for all Minnesotans. Again, we support planning for the implementation of a Minnesota exchange instead of leaving it to the federal government for what is likely to be a one-size-fits-all model. We believe that this will allow us to continue to create a healthcare system that delivers value for all Minnesotans. Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to take questions.
Thank you. I would also just like to invite you, Ms. McMullen, or any other testifier that has prepared a written testimony, if you would want to submit a copy of that to the committee, you can send it to our administrator. We'll get copies made for members for reference. You don't have to do it right now, but if you wish to have your comments submitted to us for, continuing review, please do so. We are looking for input and would certainly appreciate that. So thank you. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. McMullen, do you think it would be important for the information that the state is collecting about low-cost, high-quality providers to be included on a website that the exchange might have in order for individuals who would be purchasing insurance through this mechanism to also choose the best network for themselves?
Ms. McMullen?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, yes. We do believe that transparent cost and quality information is key to consumer choice.
Thank you. Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair and Ms. McMullen, thank you for the information. It was really useful, and I agree with the chair. I would like to get a copy of your remarks. Have you or any of the members of your organization taken a look at any of the suggested state legislation from organizations like the National Association for Insurance Commissioners who've put out sample legislation? And if so, have you seen anything that's missing in those yet, or ways that Minnesota could take one and with the least amount of work get to where we need to be with Minnesota's?
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, yes, we have begun taking a look at some of the model legislation that's out there. I think the NAIC model is a very interesting one. As far as information that is missing from that, I'd have to take another look and get back to you on that. But I do think that there are a lot of options out there, and I'm trying to look at this very specifically from that multi-state employer perspective, mm-hmm. and so I'll get back to you on some of that. Thanks.
Thank you. Senator Nino.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Same question for both of the testifiers. You don't have to answer right now. You can wait till after your testimony. But my question is, to your knowledge, we had some conversation some weeks back with Senator Hahn here in the department with the question about whether they might be able to implement a version of an exchange outside of the legislative process. And my question is, to your knowledge, has any discussion been had with any of your members or anything along that line with the administration?
Ms. McMullen?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nienow, to my knowledge, there has not been any communication about specifically about administration proceeding. We would, you know, strongly prefer to have a legislative model put forth and worked in conjunction with the administration to put forward something that is best for Minnesota.
I'd like to get Ms. Bodine to testify, and we've got some other people next following Ms. Bodine. It'd be Catherine Commit and Greg Saylor are the next two on the list, so just to be alerted, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Lisa Bodine, and I am with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. For those of you that don't know, I'm wearing my hat today as a representative of 2,600 members. 70% represent employers under employers that employ 100 folks or less. So I'm really wearing the hat of small business in front of you today. Like Ms. McMullen, and I'd really like to build on her testimony rather than repeat many of the points that she made. I'm not here to debate the constitutionality of the ACA. We are simply looking out for, we believe that this is looking out for the state of Minnesota. We're not only protecting our state's interests from the federal government, but we truly believe that a Minnesota-designed exchange could offer a better option for our small businesses and individuals in the state of Minnesota, regardless of the ACA. The Minnesota Chamber supports a framework legislation passed this year. We believe that we should build on pre-existing reform that's been done by employers, providers, policymakers, and many of you at this table, that serve the needs of employees and employers. The goal of an exchange, in our opinion, is to provide a marketplace, and I really want to stress that word. Let's call it a marketplace and stay away from exchange. Let's provide a marketplace that will offer individuals and businesses a variety of options to purchase within the market, within the private market. Let's allow businesses to provide coverage for their employees and their dependents. A marketplace that would allow people to choose policies that fulfill their individual needs, and a marketplace that improves quality, patient outcomes, and decreases costs. In addition to some of the aspects that Ms. McMullen mentioned, I will highlight we firmly believe a public-private partnership is important, and there should not be any further regulations or layers added to the mix. Other aspects that are important to our members and our businesses, give consumers choices, affordable choices. Make it easy. It's not exactly easy to purchase insurance. I've done it myself for business, and it's complicated as it is. Let's make it easier, not more difficult. Let's ask business for input in the design, not only of the marketplace itself, but let's include them in the governance model. Let's leverage existing infrastructure. We have been an innovative state when it comes to modeling different programs. Let's leverage what we've learned as successful models, whether it's in the governance or in the structure of the program itself. And I would last add that we would like to ensure accountability and continuous improvement and innovation. Let's set benchmarks and review and make improvements continually. Make it easy for businesses to offer insurance. The 70% of our members want to offer insurance. It's a retention and recruitment tool. It's important to have productive, healthy employees in order to run a productive, healthy business. And so it's important to the Minnesota Chamber that we do pass a legislation this year. And I will say that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce also supports this same legislation moving forward. We suggest that you form a task force with stakeholders in this room, experts that understand the intricacies of the industries, and businesses that will actually use it. Let's have customers be part of that that framework of the task force. And last, I would just like to mention that, as Ms. McMullen indicated, businesses are confused. They're looking to you folks for direction with respect to the exchange. And it's our opportunity to not only put together a framework that works for business, but one that truly offers reform and more choices for individuals and businesses. So we encourage the Senate to move forward with a framework for a marketplace in Minnesota.
Thank you, Ms. Bodine. One question for you. We may agree that the current health insurance marketplace may not be what we prefer it to be or like it to see it to be, but we do have a marketplace currently. People do sell insurance. People buy insurance, private individuals, businesses. What is missing from the current marketplace? Why, in your mind, is this necessary? Businesses provide, for example, retirement benefits through IRA structures and so forth, and no one is clamoring for an exchange to make sure that all the different retirement products are brought to one place so people can compare. Why is it needed in the health insurance world and not in other parts of the benefits that businesses provide?
Mr. Chair, that's a great question, and it requires a little thought. And I initially, I would say that the way that the current, well, first and foremost, this is operating under the assumption that we have to comply with the ACA. So if we have to put together the marketplace or an exchange, we do believe that there is a robust private sector already in place, and we want to do whatever we can to preserve that. There are agents in all of your towns that currently do offer insurance, and we want to do what we can to support that industry moving forward. We know that if we are unfortunate enough to be subject to the federal ACA, that we may, you know, that market may go, it may look a lot different. And it may look different regardless. And, you know, the brokers and the agents are coming forward to help design a program that will preserve that marketplace. And to answer your question, at the end of the day, it's not easy to make insurance decisions. Whether you're a small business running, you have 10 employees, you have to offer insurance. A lot of the times the CEOs are wearing the hat of the HR manager, the COO, the CIO, they're wearing a lot of different hats. And so if we can provide a marketplace that makes it easier for consumers to choose an option, maybe that isn't the right option for their group. You get group insurance, maybe you don't need that robust of an insurance policy. Maybe there's a different option for you as an individual that makes more sense. And so it's building on the 2008 reforms that were passed bipartisan. The exchange marketplace idea is not a new one. We believe it offers more options and more accountability for individuals that suit their individual needs.
Thank you. Senator Rosen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure if this this question is for Ms. McMillan or Ms. Bodine, but perhaps it's for Senator Berglund, or perhaps the department, but we did do a significant piece of legislation in 08 on this measure, and I guess I would like to know how it is going forward, what is going to change, number one, with this exchange, what we need to build off of that, and number two, where the other states are at, because since we did do the reform in 08, did the other states follow suit, are they at the same starting point that we are at, or are they at below or above? Or so that is perhaps a question for Mr. Leitz, the Assistant Commissioner, Mr. Golden, or something. But
do either of our
Mr. Chair
or Senator Berglund?
Yeah, I have a little information on that.
Senator Higgins.
I've been trying to gather some information on the exchanges. It looks like there are four states who have them up and running: Massachusetts, Utah, Connecticut, and Washington State. As of when Massachusetts looks like October 06, Utah, August 09 for small group, and April 2010 for large group pilot of 50 employees or more. Connecticut was 1995. Washington State enrollment began in September of 2010, and coverage began January of this year.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. McMullen.
Senator Rosen, I'm not sure if you were asking specifically about exchange language. In 08, we talked about exchange language, but it wasn't included in the bill. But what was included in the 08 reforms are movement in payment reform, cost and quality transparency, similar to what Senator Berglund had asked me earlier. I do think that Minnesota continues to be a leader in those areas. I think other states are looking at opportunities. One of the key points that we believe why Minnesota needs to move forward on its own exchange is so that we take into consideration those advancements that we have made and are able to create a marketplace that will work for where we are and not where, not kind of bring us down to the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Nino.
Senator Higgins, and you may not know this because I know this is off the cuff, but most of those dates sounded like they were prior to the federal law. Do you know if those exchanges would be in compliance? It doesn't sound like they were initiated to comply with the federal law. Do you have any idea if they're in compliance or been approved by the feds?
Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nino, why don't I give some of this information to our staff and
okay.
They can copy
sure.
it.
Thank you.
This is from the State Health Access Data Assistance Center called SHDAC, I think people call it.
Sounds like a basketball player.
And it is broken out by, this chart is broken out by their scope and objectives, their market coverage and structure and enrollment, their governance, the exchange's role in plan selection, the benefit options, and those kinds of things. And they've got it very clearly laid out by those four states, and so we can see, what they've done and how it seems to match.
Thank you for that. Yes, please get it, and we'll distribute it. And other members of the committee, if you have information that you've accumulated in your musings about exchanges and would want to share that with other members of the committee, I'd invite
you
to get that to our administrator, and we'll do that. I have a copy of the Utah legislation if anyone is interested. Maybe we could distribute that as well. I'm not trying to inundate you with stuff, but if there are things that would be helpful. Sir Nino, do you have another question?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Back to my original question, but I also have a second question, so if you can put that one on hold, and I'll ask this for both of you to respond again. The previous testifier, as I heard the testimony, basically said, you know what, Minnesota should not get involved in this and push back, basically. And my question to you then is, how do you, from your perspective, if that were to be the case, if the state of Minnesota said, no, we're not going to participate and we're going to push back, how do you see that? What are the possible options for how that plays out?
Ms. Bodine or Ms. McMullen?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nino, I don't know how business, particularly multi-state employer based here in Minnesota, I don't know how we would react to Minnesota not doing it. We would certainly have to, our members are going to have to plan for it as it's created in other states, assuming that there will be some that go forward with this. We're going to have to be doing the work on that end. So I don't know what reaction we would have to it not being done here, other than fearing that we might be out of compliance as an employer with federal law.
Mr. Chair and Senator Nino, I would also agree with Ms. McMullen in terms of we're not really sure. And I would go back to Ms. McMullen's comment about businesses are required to abide by law, and it currently is law. And while, again, we're not here to debate the constitutionality of the ACA, businesses, we know, want to offer insurance to their employees, and we supported the 2008 reforms and still support the implementation of those reforms before, and that was well before the Affordable Care Act. So do think that we still support an exchange that promotes offering more options, better affordability, more transparency for our members.
Thank you. Members, I'm going to... Sorry, Senator.
End of my first question.
Oh, I'm Mr. Chair, Senator Nino, would you mind repeating the question?
Sure. It just was about... we had some conversation in this committee about whether or not the administration could implement an exchange outside the legislative process, and was just, to your knowledge, have there been any conversations or discussions with any of your members?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nino.
Ms. Boding.
It's our understanding that the departments want to work and the administration wants to work through the legislature. There's been no conversation of that. As I mentioned, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, I do keep in touch with those folks to understand what's happening at a national level, and there have been states that have explored and have implemented via executive order.
Thank you. Senator Berglund has a question, and I just want to remind members we have five more testifiers on the list. We've had three testifiers in 45 minutes. Just want to make sure we have an opportunity to hear from all the folks who want to testify. But Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to respond to Senator Rosen. You know, we did have an exchange in the 2008 legislation, but it was removed at the governor's request about the middle of the process. What we have that other states don't have is the cost and quality information about providers. Now, I think there's maybe one other city and suburban area that has that, but there is no state that has it. And if we were to go into a federal exchange, of course they wouldn't be able to provide that type of information because our citizens would go to a web page that lumps all the insurance carriers together and all the states together, and we wouldn't be able to provide that type of information through a website that would be provided at the federal level. So one of the things that I think we need to think about is how we use the tools that we might develop to keep us on the track of healthcare cost containment and in a way that we don't lose our quality.
Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, just two things. I have a question for Senator Berglund, and then I also see that I think California was the first state to enact an exchange after the Affordable Care Act was implemented. Somebody frowning at me? I think that was right anyway. Anyway, so Senator Berglund, my question for you is I believe that the Healthcare Access Commission had a working group on exchanges last year, the year before. When was that? How far did we get?
Senator Berglund, can you have a recollection of that?
We did have a working group, and we did pass some general recommendations. I would say they were fairly general, so that whether it's the legislature that would want to look at them or the governor or whoever, that they could use them as a platform to build on.
All right. Thank you. Let's invite Ms. Commit for, please. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, members of the committee. My name is Catherine Commit, and I represent the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. The council is a trade association that represents Minnesota's 7 nonprofit health plans. And I'll try to be brief and not repeat some of the things that have already been stated, but just to give you a quick snapshot of what an exchange is, it really is a mechanism for organizing the health insurance marketplace to help consumers and small businesses shop for coverage in a way that permits easy comparison of available plan options based on price, benefits, and services and quality. Exchanges will help consumers and small businesses shop for and select high-quality, affordable private health plans that fit their needs at a competitive price. For those consumers who cannot afford coverage, the exchange will help them access a subsidy or help them obtain coverage through federal or state health care programs. Exchanges create more efficient and competitive markets for consumers and small employers. By providing one-stop shopping, the exchange will make purchasing health insurance easier and more understandable. So open enrollment for the exchange will begin sometime in 2013 for coverage that goes into effect 2014. And while that seems like a long ways away, it really is not that far away, especially given all the work that has to be done in order to prepare. So if we do this right, we can create something with more transparency, more accountability, and ease for people to purchase health insurance coverage. Establishing a state-based exchange is a critical step that Minnesota must take to be on track to receive certification by the federal government by January 1, 2013. Because each state's insurance marketplace is different, the exchange must be designed to have the flexibility to respond to local market conditions. In order to be certified, the exchange must meet certain minimum requirements. States do have choices on how to develop their own exchange, and we support legislation that allows Minnesota to proceed with developing a Minnesota-based exchange. We believe the governance structure should be nonprofit and independent, in keeping with the successful structures of other collaborative and innovative initiatives in Minnesota, such as the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association, also known as MCHA. We believe the state should follow the timeline required rather than trying to implement the exchange early. Finally, we support the inclusion of a sunset clause in the law. If the federal exchange legislation is repealed or invalidated by the courts, the Minnesota exchange law would sunset within 30 days. This gives the state an exit strategy should there be changes at the federal level. If something were to change in Washington or at the U.S. Supreme Court, and the legislature is not in session, the sunset clause would still take effect. So if I can leave you with one message, that would be that there are good arguments on both sides of this issue. However, we have to prepare for implementation. We need to enact legislation that allows the state to begin this process. Otherwise, the consequences for not moving forward will be worse for Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kmit, and I appreciate your testimony. I was listening to your comments, and again, would invite you to give us copies if you wish. And correct me if I'm mishearing you, but it sounds like what you're saying is that we should do this, we should follow the federal timeline, we should go ahead and do this because what we would do would be better than what someone might do to us. But fundamentally, if the federal government isn't going to make us do it, then we shouldn't do it at all. And I say that, you didn't make that comment explicitly, but you did say we should have a sunset clause. So if the federal government, if that law is repealed, then we wouldn't have to do it, and then we should get away from it. And the second point observation I would make, that you represent health care plans. There's no law that prohibits the plans from forming an exchange jointly today, but none has been formed. So my conclusion is that it may not be seen, and this is where I would like you to correct me, as a necessary thing. But if we are going to be compelled to do it, we should do it on our terms rather than am I hearing that correctly? Is that a fair summary of your position?
Mr. Chair, I'll try to clarify. I think that what we need to do is, of course, we are subject to the federal law. We should follow the federal law. We believe that Minnesota should pass legislation to enact its own exchange here in Minnesota. We think that because there is so much uncertainty at the federal level, if something were to change, and none of us know what's going to happen with the next election or how the Supreme Court might act, but if something were to happen that would invalidate this law or repeal this law, then putting some sunset language into a bill would give, we think, more comfort to those who are very opposed to an exchange, recognizing that we still are subject to the federal law and should move forward. As far as with respect to your question about health plans forming an exchange, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know this. I'd have to check with my legal counsel on this, but the health plans are prohibited from colluding or figuring out how to organize the marketplace, with the exception of when they want to petition government, so testifying before the legislature, we can talk about bills. In Minnesota and across the country, the United States has an employer-based system, and one of the benefits of having an exchange would be not only for those employers who purchase coverage today for their employees, but for lots of other citizens who would like to get coverage or should have coverage but either don't know where to go or don't realize that they should have that and that sort of thing. So it's a way to bring people together to put them in connection with products that are available in the marketplace.
Just one other question for you. We had some testimony yesterday evening about competition and what competition means. Is there any concern on the part of the plans of being asked to participate into a structure that if it's going to be, the rules are determined by either the federal government or presumably the federal government to some degree, and we as a state would have to comply with that. Is there a concern about what those rules may require and how much competition would be fostered under such rules? Is that a concern to the plans? And if that's what the federal law provides, what is the position that you take on that?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we would be concerned about the rules. And in fact, the way the process works is that the federal government issues preliminary rules and gives the public a chance to respond. So, in fact, as the federal government has been in the process of sending out notices of different rules that they are intending to adopt at a later time, the health plans have been individually responding to make sure that we keep a competitive and robust marketplace. The health plans compete in the marketplace every single day. Most of the discussion we have in this committee is around state public programs, but as far as what happens in the private market, it is a very competitive marketplace, and most of us don't realize that because we are not the ones who purchase coverage. It's our employer who purchases it for us on our behalf. But at that level, it is extremely competitive, I can assure you, and we would want to make sure that it remains competitive, and all of my health plans are not afraid of competition and willing to compete.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Kmit, if your organizations were somehow legally allowed to create an exchange, you would not have the authority to administer small business or individual tax credits through that exchange, would you?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Berglund, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry.
Well, the
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Kmit, the tax credits, I think, are the reason that we need to have some kind of a community structure. It can't just be a private sector initiative because the tax credits wouldn't be available to a private sector organization.
Senator Newman, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kmit, you've indicated that 2014 isn't too far off and we've got to get going on this exchange in order to meet the deadline, and then indicate to us that if the Affordable Health Care Act were to, for some reason, fail, that we're going to have a sunset within 30 days. If we were to proceed with an exchange, is it realistic that we could unwind this thing in 30 days?
Ms. Kmit.
Mr. Chairman, if that is the legislature's will, then that is what would happen. There are sunset clauses in statute all the time.
We command and the world obeys, Senator. You know, so. Senator, you know.
We're only true.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kmit, similar question. You know, we had conversations here about the administration alluding to at least that they could, they thought anyway, implement an exchange in whole or in part outside the legislative process. Again, to your knowledge, anybody involved in any of the members in your organization or membership in your organization, have there been any discussions about what that might look like or how that might be accomplished?
Ms. Kmit?
You know, I'm sorry. Can you just repeat that question? I apologize.
Sure. In the context of the administration seemingly considering how they might implement an exchange outside the legislative process, my question is, to your knowledge, anybody involved with the members in your organization, have there been any discussions there with anyone about what that might look like if it was done or how that might get done?
Ms. Kmit?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Nienau, you know, ideally, I think it would be a good idea for there to be collaboration across all the parties. And the Minnesota Council of Health Plans does very much work in a collaborative manner in many different venues, both with doctors and hospitals and all sorts of other organizations, in addition to working with the state of Minnesota. And I think that if there were a way to bring the stakeholders together and talk about this, we might be able to make progress. As far as what authority the state has to do this activity on their own or absent state legislation, I'm not sure, but I think it would really depend on where the, you know, how the federal government would view where that state authority lies. Is it with legislation, or does the authority rest with the state agency? And I don't know that question has really been answered.
Thank you. Sir, you know.
And Mr. Chair, and to my question of whether, to your knowledge, anybody involved in your membership has had those conversations with the administration.
Ms. Schmidt.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Nino, yes, we, you know, the law was enacted in March of 2010, and at that time, since that time, we've been working on all sorts of things around the exchange and other parts of the ACA, and have been in conversations with members of all three departments at the state agencies. So, yes, because we have to work together to build something that's going to work with all of us.
Senator Nino?
Hey, Mr. Chair, again, to your knowledge, did any of that conversation involve what it might look like or how that might be done outside the legislative process?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Nino, I don't think that the discussions ever got to that level. I think they were more about joining together and what would a bill look like that would be acceptable to both the administration, to the legislature, and to the other stakeholders.
Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm going to go back. I'm glad you asked for that clarification about the initial statements about repeal in 30 days, regardless of whether the legislature is in session, if something happens with the Affordable Care Act in Washington, because the implication that I heard, too, was the same that you heard, that then what you were saying was we shouldn't do it if not forced by the feds. And then you tried to clarify it a little bit, and what I heard you say in the clarification was more along the lines of, well, there's going to be opposition to whatever we do, and so to mollify some of the opposition, maybe we should throw that 30-day repeal in there. But I think that, you know, some of the discussion that has evolved since then has demonstrated that, you know, I mean, there's been some bipartisan efforts to try to do a health care exchange that's good for Minnesota, and to throw something on the table that says, you know, as step one, we should have a repeal in there if the feds change the ACA, is not a very good way to put your best foot forward and try to find that solution that actually engages all stakeholders, the governor, the legislature, and our healthcare community, and tries to work out something that is good for the state of Minnesota. And if we have that presupposition in on the table before we even get much further in these dialogues, it tends to undermine the discussion that I hope that we do have regarding how to move Minnesota in a good direction. So maybe maybe you want to further clarify. Maybe I misunderstood the clarification, but
Ms. Commit, any
Mr. Chair comment? And Senator Lurie, I apologize. I think that we have been working with Representative Gottwald in the House, and he did introduce a bill, and that bill did include some language that had a sunset clause in there. It has been difficult in some ways to get a discussion going, not with legislators per se, but with some groups who are adamantly opposed to the concept of an exchange. And so in an attempt to be flexible to all parties, I think that was one idea that was entertained as a way to make legislation more palatable. But we support the exchange. We want the exchange to be successful. We want it to work. We think it's a way to increase the rate of coverage in Minnesota. While we have a high rate of coverage in Minnesota already, we could do better. And most people who are uninsured are people who qualify for existing programs. They just may not know that or understand that. So we need to, if this is, you know, let's move forward and do this together. And I'm really pleased to hear that you're interested in working on this issue, and would be happy to talk with you further about it.
Thank you. Members, I'd like to continue with testimony. Invite Mr. Saylor, and then after that, Allison Hartle, Philip Cryan, and Rolanda Mason to just be prepared. And welcome to the committee, Mr. Saylor.
Good morning, Chairman Hahn and committee members. My name is Greg Saylor.
Saylor, I apologize.
That's all right. Happened all my life. I am the owner of Saylor Benefit Services in Lake Elmo. We are a small sales and consulting firm working with employers and individuals to find quality insurance coverage for those employees and individuals. I also serve as the chairman of the board for the Minnesota Association of Health Underwriters, which is part of the Agents Coalition for Healthcare Reform. This coalition consists of MAHU, Professional Insurance Agents Association of Minnesota, and the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. Our members service the health insurance policies of hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans and work on an annual basis to help individuals and employers purchase, administer, and utilize health insurance coverage. Consequently, we have a profound interest in the development of Minnesota's insurance exchange and feel that the decisions state policymakers will be making over the next few years regarding the design will be critical. We are pleased to offer a number of central ideas for successful implementation based on our members' everyday real working experience working in this distribution system. The establishment of the health insurance exchanges is one of the most significant and far-reaching aspects of the private health insurance reforms contained in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Required to be operational by January 1, 2014, exchanges will not be insurers, but will provide qualified individuals and small businesses with access to insurers' qualified health plans. The exchanges will have additional responsibilities as well, such as certifying plans and identifying individuals eligible for Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program, as well as administering the premium subsidies enacted by PACA. The exchange will greatly affect Minnesota's private health care marketplace for individuals and small businesses buying coverage. The states are given a lot of latitude on the elements and designs of the exchange while meeting minimum requirements. We would like to offer these following recommendations. Minnesota should be proud of the accomplishments we have made in our low uninsured rate, our successful MCHA program, and our low-cost, high-quality plans already offered here in Minnesota. Therefore, we highly recommend that Minnesota should create its own exchange rather than allow the federal government to do this for us or do it this to us. State-based exchanges are the only way for state policymakers to ensure the unique interests of their constituents are being met and that the unprecedented state-level policy control is not ceded to the federal government. Funding of the exchange should be through a user fee applied to the policies bought by those users of the exchange. We also recommend that the exchange should require working with licensed insurance brokers and agents. Since agents are licensed to provide consumers with accurate information and advice about their health coverage options, exchange participation is a natural fit. Agents should be compensated for providing consumers and with this service using the fair market rates. In fact, all successful state-level private purchasing pools and exchanges have elected to use the services of agents already. We also feel that navigators, another piece of the health care rebill form, must require them also to be Minnesota health life insurance licensed as well. For the same consumer protections reasons that led to agents being licensed, they are essentially completing the same and similar functions as the agents. They should have the same educational and requirements that agents do as well to serve the Minnesotans. Two markets but one exchange. To save costs, increase efficiency, and preserve the long-term health of the state's private insurance markets, we also recommend that Minnesota create one public exchange rather than multiple exchanges where both individuals and small businesses can access coverage options but have underlying separate pools for the individuals and groups. We recommend limiting carriers participating in exchange to one plan per precious metal in the individual and shop portions of the exchange. One of our concerns regarding the exchange is that it will hasten the demise of the small group market in Minnesota by enticing employers to offer individual plans and drop their group coverage. Individual plans do not offer the same level of coverages that group plans do. exchange structure. MAHU feels that Minnesota should strive for the simplest administrative structure possible. Minnesota should utilize both its existing regulatory authorities and current state private health insurance marketplace structure, which provides thousands of jobs in our states with little disruption as possible. Exchange government. We also feel a board of directors structured like the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association, MCHA, would be appropriate for overseeing this body of the exchange. We must maintain a competitive market outside of the exchange as well. Minnesota should preserve its health insurance market outside of the exchange and ensure the requirements for exchange participating health plans should mirror state laws for plan options being marketed outside of the exchange. Otherwise, adverse selection will be prevalent. We also do not want to limit the innovation of our insurers in creating new products for our customers. Limit participation in the exchange to just individual and small group employers. That's the 2 to 50 market. Allowing employers with 51 or more employees will entice employers to drop coverage, placing more strain on our current market as well. The exchange bill language should include sunset provisions. It is our belief the primary need for the exchange is to funnel subsidy money from the federal government to individuals and families that meet a certain income level to pay for their health insurance coverage. If the ACA is found either unconstitutional or is repealed, these subsidies will end. We already have many tools in the marketplace to help consumers compare and purchase quality coverage. Our low uninsured rate is proof of that. We want to encourage government leaders and others who are required to create a state-based exchange to utilize the best aspects of our current private market by using professionals that service the health insurance needs of millions of Minnesotans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Seiler. And just on a personal comment, I will appreciate the work that you and your organization has done and working with me and others on ideas. And there's been many that you have generated as part of your organization, and would certainly invite you to submit a copy of your recommendations on the exchange to the committee so we can distribute them.
Thank you for your
help. Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Seiler, you commented that you recommended having only one option for each of the, you know, gold, silver, what's the other one, bronze?
Yeah, precious metals.
Precious metals. When you're giving the information to the chair, your comments, could you also give us more detail on why you think we should be limited to just that one?
Mr. Seiler?
Chairman,
you don't have to do it today if you don't want to, but
Chairman Hand, Senator Higgins, one of the goals of the exchange is to make things simpler for the consumers. And the gold, you see, it's the silver and the bronze are the only two levels that are available for the subsidy money anyway inside of the exchange. It is our, you know, and of course an employer contribution would be a little different, but we're trying to make things more easy for the consumers so they can pick, because we've been told today that it's a little bit, it's hard to pick plans. That, you know, a limitation on that. We've got really probably four or five carriers probably that would participate the most inside of the exchange. Five plans, each plan, that's 20 plans. If we added one more carrier to that, that'd be 25. So, you know, our thought is that makes it easier. Now, there's even another thought that we've had of having all the plans be identical, just like the state-mandated plans that were put together a few years ago, so that all the plans were very comparable in that manner.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your work and your testimony today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ms. Hartle, and then Philip Cryan and Rolanda Mason. Welcome to the committee.
Yes, Chair Hand, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today about the health insurance exchange as part of ongoing health care reform. My name is Allison Hartle, and I'm representing the National MS Society, serving 10,000 Minnesotans who live with multiple sclerosis. Creating a Minnesota exchange is preferable to having a federal health insurance exchange imposed on our state for a number of reasons. Minnesota has long been an innovator in health reform and historically has provided among the best care at the most reasonable cost in the nation. The momentum of innovation continues to exist in Minnesota, and we believe it's critical for Minnesotans to shape the exchange. We don't yet know what form a federal exchange would take, But we do know that if the legislature and the governor don't act to meet deadlines set in federal law, then we will have lost our opportunity. That said, there are several items we would like to raise with regard to creation of a Minnesota exchange. First, while technology is in part what makes a robust and efficient exchange possible, the exchange must also provide an alternate mechanism for consumers other than the internet. Many people with MS who live in rural areas don't have access to the internet, can't afford the service, or have other limitations that make use of online-only process difficult. Second, structuring the exchange to prevent adverse selection is critical so that a broad base of enrollees, including the healthy and less healthy, is in the population. Third, and you've heard this before, the exchange should be a nonprofit or government-sponsored entity with a mission to serve the public. Fourth, the governance of the exchange should include diverse viewpoints of experts in the healthcare field, but must also take into account the needs of people with disabilities, mental illness, and chronic disease. We believe the governing board and any advisory groups must have at least one representative who comes from one of these communities, and that a process is established to ensure rotation of membership so that groups participate in advising and governing the exchange. Finally, the whole purpose behind health insurance exchanges is to create a mechanism for market-driven decision-making by consumers and employers, while creating a useful, functional exchange that truly meets the needs of Minnesotans may be complex. The end result is simple: to enable consumers and businesses to find the best health plan at the lowest cost that meets the needs of and uses current technology to make it as simple as possible. For any of you who may have had to find health insurance for your own family on the open market, you likely realize how cumbersome it is, even when working with a broker. The exchange simplifies this and is therefore a positive step. Thank you for your time and consideration, and we look forward to being part of the discussion to ensure that Minnesotans establish an exchange that works. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Is Philip Cryan be next? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Philip Cryan. I'm with SEIU Healthcare Minnesota. We're a union representing 16,000 healthcare workers here in the state of Minnesota, part of a national union of 2.2 million members, the Service Employees International Union. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before your committee today to speak about this very important topic related to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. We believe that a health insurance exchange can play a critical role in improving quality and reining in cost growth for health insurance in Minnesota's individual and small business markets. However, in order for it to do so, it needs to be designed in particular ways with clearly established authority to pursue those goals on quality and cost. And to answer the question that that the chairman posed about sort of to get opinions about what an exchange is, an exchange is a kind of marketplace, as has been said already today, one that's organized to generate competition in a market that's characterized by significant and multiple market failures. One key way in which an exchange can do this is by enabling apples-to-apples comparisons for consumers and small businesses among insurance products, and that's correcting for the market failure of imperfect information, which is quite profound in health insurance markets throughout the United States. Another key goal is to reduce market power in those marketplaces, another area of market failure affecting insurance markets, perhaps less so, something we can be proud of here in Minnesota than some other states, but still to a significant degree. Just to be clear about this, there are economies of scale in health insurance markets that are real and natural to those markets, and it's actually only through the appropriate setting of rules, regulations, and the organization of the marketplace that you would be able to reasonably aspire to correct for some of those market failures and actually establish the conditions for robust competition in a health insurance market. And let me just state that very clearly. A functioning market is not defined by the absence of government. A functioning market is defined by the presence of competition, and the health insurance exchange is specifically intended to help us to create more robust competition in health insurance markets. So we believe it can play a critical role. There are a couple of very important ways of exchange design questions that I would like to specifically call the committee's attention to today that we see as very important to achieve the promise of health insurance exchange here in Minnesota. First of all, Minnesota's exchange needs to be explicitly granted the authority to negotiate with health plans over the terms of the products that they seek to offer in the exchange. That could be price, benefits package, or any other criterion beyond the minimum conditions that are established by the Affordable Care Act. Establishing this authority, what some people call smart purchaser authority, is necessary in order to capitalize on the most important opportunity a large new publicly created marketplace affords us, the opportunity to pool the purchasing power and by doing so achieve better health outcomes in terms of both quality and cost, to pool the purchasing power of consumers and small businesses who currently face significant challenges in navigating the health insurance market. In the existing individual and small group markets, consumers and small businesses operate at an extreme disadvantage, facing both insurers and providers who wield significant market power, holding no power themselves in that marketplace. An exchange can allow these individuals and small businesses to, in effect, aggregate their purchasing decisions, and it can help them to do so by presenting their options in clear, apples-to-apples terms, and all in one place, under a consistent set of market rules that govern products offered both inside and outside the exchange in the interests of preventing against adverse selection. In recent months, we have all learned here in Minnesota, I think, a great deal about the ways in which any willing insurer insurance system can generate waste by failing to create competition or any other incentive for improvements in cost effectiveness. And as we embark on this critical next step in implementing the Affordable Care Act and seeking to bend the curve of healthcare cost growth, it would be a real shame if we gave up on setting up the rules for this exchange in a way that does not present us with the same challenges of any willing insurer system. The second important exchange design principle I'd like to comment on today is that in order for the exchange to be effective, representatives of the intended beneficiaries of the health insurance exchange, which is to say consumers, should hold the majority of seats on the board that's established to direct the exchange. The exchange, of course, should be directly accountable to the public here in Minnesota. The exchange is intended to correct for, as I mentioned before, some of the failures and weaknesses in the health insurance marketplace currently, and it's hard to believe that an exchange will have any success in achieving that goal if its board includes representatives of the very groups the exchange should seek to establish consumer and small business leverage in negotiations with, which is to say the insurers, or the intermediaries that a market characterized by such serious problems of imperfect information has required, and which an exchange is trying to reduce our dependence on, which is to say brokers. Legislators, we believe, should oppose any exchange bill that fails to include clear conflict of interest provisions prohibiting health plans or brokers from having representation on the exchange board. Just to say again, a strong majority of exchange board members, we believe, should be representatives of health insurance consumers, small businesses, and the working people of Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. I have one question for you. As you described the functioning or the purpose of the exchange, and I believe you used the phrase one of the things would be to overcome market failure, and we may have differing views on why we have market failure, but is it your view that part of the functioning of the exchange or the government who sets up the exchange would be to establish prices and to establish the criteria for what products should be on that exchange? Is that part of your vision for that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It may be true that we disagree about the conditions that lead to market failure in health insurance markets. It is not our belief that there's anything in the Affordable Care Act that's about defining the prices. In fact, this is the Affordable Care Act generally, and the health insurance exchanges in particular, as they emerged over the course of the 1990s as a fairly bipartisan proposal, are specifically intended to enhance the conditions of competition in a health insurance marketplace that remains a private health insurance marketplace. So that's, in a sense, the opposite of an approach that would seek to dictate prices.
What about establishing what products have to be available? In other words, defining what products have to do. Is that part of the vision for what the exchange should be doing?
Mr. Chair, I believe the Affordable Care Act defines several important minimum criteria that are necessary for a federally qualified health plan to be offered in a state or federal exchange. We would encourage legislators in Minnesota, as we have on, the rules that govern our health insurance marketplace over the years, to seek to see those not as the standards that we would hold ourselves to, but as sort of a floor that we would like to aim higher than that in Minnesota, and yes, to have some significant rules that govern the products that are offered in the exchange that make sure that the kinds of benefits that are currently required, for example, in Minnesota law, would continue to be required, after the implementation of the exchange.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We have one other person who's indicated it wished to offer some information, Rolanda Mason. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Rolanda Mason. I'm an attorney with the Legal Services Advocacy Project.
Excuse me. Could I ask you just bring the microphone close so that we can catch your remarks?
Okay.
Yes, close as you can.
Thank you. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. Legal Aid supports the creation of an exchange in Minnesota. We believe that it's important that the state design a system that works for all members of our state, and we believe that we can do that better for ourselves than the federal government can do it for us. The exchange is the central component of the healthcare world we will be living in after 2014. It will serve as the gateway for people in our state to access healthcare. Under federal law, exchanges are required to embrace the no wrong door principle. This means that low-income Minnesotans who are eligible for public healthcare programs must be able to access those programs and hopefully all other public programs through the exchange. The governance of the exchange must reflect this important function. The governing board of the exchange should reflect the people who will be served by the exchange. Consumers, both private market consumers and public program consumers, should be represented on the board, as well as people with demonstrated experience in administering public programs. We all know that there are unique challenges that people encounter when they move between the private sector and the public programs. A significant number of people do make this move back and forth as their economic circumstances fluctuate. The board should include people who understand that situation. We also think that the board should reflect the diversity of the state. Different population groups have distinctly different needs and expectations when it comes to health care. Factors such as age, culture, socioeconomic status, and geographic location all influence how people will relate to the exchange. The board should reflect those differences. And similarly, navigators must be able to effectively assist people coming to the exchange. The wide diversity of people who will enter the exchange requires that the navigators be experienced in working with people across the continuum. We are specifically concerned that there must be navigators who have experience working with public programs, who understand the intricacies of eligibility criteria, for example, and people who have experience working with the traditionally hard-to-serve populations. Navigators should include community-based organizations and people with experience and relationships within the various communities coming into the exchange. While Legal Aid strongly supports the creation of a Minnesota exchange, we ask that critical issues of governance, representation, and navigators be addressed to reflect the entirety of the people who will be served by the exchange. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the members? Well, I appreciate all of you who have come this morning to offer your assistance on this issue. It is a big issue, one that we believe is important. There clearly are some differences of opinion about what should be in the exchange, what it should do. I think some of those differences are reflected among the members of the committee and of the legislature. But we appreciate very much this opportunity to begin to hear some of the details about what we need to do going forward. And I, again, would want to invite anyone who's testified or anyone who hasn't, if you've got some things that you think may be helpful for us in our discussion, please bring them to the committee. We will distribute those to members of the committee and look forward to working with you as this issue proceeds through the legislature. And members, I appreciate your attention and willingness to have this discussion. I hope it is helpful as we wrestle with this issue going forward. And if there are no further comments, we are adjourned. Thank you.